What would you do with all power in heaven and on earth? That's sometimes a fantasy of ours, isn't it? What would you do if you could do anything? Would you make a castle for yourself of solid gold and precious jewels? Would you pay the entire federal deficit or jail all the Wall Street scoundrels? Would you abolish war, banish hunger and sickness, terminate terrorism? What would you do with all power in heaven and on earth? Let us look what Jesus did. He was pre-existent and co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, and in His nature as the second person of the Holy Trinity, He did have all power in heaven and on earth. But what He did with all power in heaven and on earth is empty Himself. Not counting equality with God something to be grasped, but became a servant, accepting even death on a cross. This was the glorious one, God from God, light from light, source of exquisite beauty. This was the one transfigured in glory, whose face was like a flaming fire and whose clothes were like light. Yet Isaiah says of Him in these days of His ordeal, there was in Him no stately bearing to make us look at Him, nor appearance that would make us look at Him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hide their faces. And we held Him. And we held Him in no esteem. Oh, why was this happening to the most innocent one, the most generous, the most loving and merciful man who ever lived? If anyone ever lived who did not deserve this, surely this was He. This was the one through whom the worlds were made. This was the one who stilled the winds and the waves, who healed whole villages and commanded the dead to come forth. This was the one who said that legions of angels would come to His aid in the blink of His eye. Yet again, the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, in the words of our first reading, yet Isaiah says of Him, in the fullness of His passion, He was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our sins. We had all gone astray like sheep, but the Lord laid on Him the guilt of us all. Oh, why was He pierced and crushed? Why was our guilt laid on Him? Why did He just take it? Why not explode in righteous anger at the grave injustice? Why be so vulnerable? Why act so powerless? This was the eternal Word. This is the one who said, I am the truth. This is the one whom large crowd followed and listened to all day as he revealed to them the secrets of the kingdom. This is the one who taught openly in the temple. Yet Isaiah, speaking of Christ in this time of his great sacrifice, says, though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he was silent and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. And who would have thought any more of his destiny? Why does the Word of God now speak not a word in his own defense? Why does the one who said, I am the truth, now not speak the truth? Why the silence? Why the restraint? The heavens cry out, this is not right. The earth resounds. This isn't fair. Our hearts cry out, why is this happening? And if we do not understand why, then all that we remember here, we remember in vain. Why? Because Jesus knew who he was and how things will end. Isaiah, in the same passage that we read at the beginning, same passage from which we've been quoting, says this about this same servant. Listen to this. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. The same passage. So shall he startle many nations, that because of him kings shall stand speechless. And I will give him a portion among the great. And he shall divide the spoils with the mighty because he surrendered himself to death. Jesus knew who he was and how things will end. He said these things as he walked the earth. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? The Father and I are one. So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, pick up your mat and walk. The sign that you're looking for, the sign I will give you, is the sign of Jonah. In 3 days I will destroy this temple and raise it up again. The Son of Man came to give his life as a sacrifice for sin. Son of Man will be raised up. He said to his disciples, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus knew who he was, knew how it would end. How did he discover this? Our second reading gives us clues. In the days when Christ was in his flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And he was made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. Why is this happening? Paul says in Corinthians 2:5, He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Why is this happening? Because He had a mission from the Father. He was the obedient Son, and He came to give His life as a sacrifice to sin. Listen again to the words of the same prophet Isaiah. So precise in describing the suffering, yet also so prophetic and profound describing the reasons for it. Imagine the comfort and the clarity of purpose that Jesus must have found as He meditated on these words, which He surely did. Yet it was our infirmities that He bore, our sufferings He endured. Upon Him was the chastisement that made us whole. By His stripes we are healed. If He gives His life as an offering for sin, the prophet says, He shall see His descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord will be accomplished through Him. Because He surrendered Himself to death, He shall take away the sins of many. Jesus was on a mission. It was to be a sacrifice for your sins and mine. Why is all this happening? Because of His love for you. As St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote centuries ago in his prayers for the Stations of the Cross, which we said a few moments ago, it was not the nails that kept you on the cross. What was it? Your love for me. Not the nails. We were lost sheep without a shepherd, and He was the good shepherd to lead us home. We hunger for truth and love, and He became the bread of life. We thirst for meaning and purpose, and He became our spiritual drink. In our wandering, He became the way. In the barrage of lies we hear, He is the truth. And we were dead. He became our life. He is the gate where we enter the kingdom. He is the branch in which we're grafted. He said, abide in me as I abide in the Father, because of His love for us. This feast isn't just about recognizing that Jesus knew who He was, and the confidence that that would give Him. It also must be about us knowing who we are. What a pitiful loss if we do not know that through His death we are reborn as His sons and daughters. You are not what the world tells you. You are not just what people think you are. You are precious to God. You have infinite and glorious worth and dignity. You were bought with the price of the blood of the only Son of God. You're the Father's beloved. That is why this is happening. This feast isn't just about knowing that Jesus had a mission, but knowing that He gave us one too. Whether you accept it or not, you are a disciple given a mission by the Master. As Jesus embraced His mission, so you need to embrace yours. Our missions all vary, but they have also much in common. Every mission is important. Every mission will stretch you. At times, you will want to say, like Jesus, let this cup pass from me. Every mission will be making our lives a living sacrifice. At times like Jesus, we will not be much to look at. At times like Jesus, we will feel pierced and crushed. At times like Jesus, we will need to imitate glorious restraint. We will suffer. We will be misunderstood. Our cross will be heavy. We may even feel abandoned by the Father. But that does not mean that God has abandoned us, because the Father did not abandon His Son. That was part of the offering. That was part of the sacrifice. We too need to offer prayers and supplications with loud cries. And yes, tears. We too need to learn obedience through what we suffer. We too need to learn the words of the Lord to Paul. In your weakness, you are strong. Jesus showed astonishing strength in His weakness. A disciple is not greater than his master. We need to imitate the Master. Jesus was strengthened by His love for us, and we too will be strengthened by our love for Him. This is why we watch and pray. This is why we're here today. This is why we come forward in the adoration of the cross. This is why we'll again take His body and His blood. The old proverb declares, expressing love increases love. And so we express our love so that our love might increase. Because we will need greater love to persevere. We will need greater love to endure. We will need to greatly love to embrace our mission and offer up our suffering. But love is what makes His yoke easy. Love is what makes His yoke light. When we hear again the passion of the Lord, the heavens cry out, this isn't right. The earth resounds, it's not fair. Our hearts shout, why is this happening? If we do not understand why, then all that we remember here, we remember in vain. Because Jesus knew who He was and how things would end. Because He had a mission from the Father and came to give His life as a sacrifice for sin because of His love for you. So know who you are in God. Accept your mission and give your life as a sacrifice, imitating His. And do all this for the love of God. If we do this together, then the passion of Christ will not be in vain, but lead us all to the glory we will remember in the days to come.